You know, before I started talking, she was there. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command. I was ashamed. All I did was, amen. You know, now get my point. The reflex in me was what? A cream, a topical preparation, and an oral antihistamine. That's how they teach dermatology. Everyone does this in school. Everything they taught in dermatology, when we're talking about dermatitis and eczema. Treatment, they taught us everything. Seborrheic dermatitis, bone follicles, this and that. At the end of the day, topical steroids and oral antihistamines. Nothing more than that. Then I realized that there is a power of life. Are you getting my point? There is what? A power of life. Which, listen, Paul said, not that I have already attained. That is, the fact that I have not experienced it does not mean it is not real. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Let me give you a small testimony, personal testimony. Now, this used to happen to me. If I don't eat well, I eat erratically for some time, I start having stomach symptoms, you know? So now, usually if it troubles me, I just take a spoon or two of a suspension, mixed magnesium trisilicate. So one day, I think something happened 1 or 2 days, especially when I don't sleep well. Yeah, I found out. If I've been very busy, I've not been sleeping well, my stomach starts reacting. So I woke up in the morning, I was having stomach ache. So I went out that day. Of course, doc, you know how these things work. You just walk to the shop. Okay, I give me one bottle of one gel there, you know, one suspension. So I was in the car. Anytime my stomach troubles, I just, you know, I take a bit of it. Then I walked up here, and I began to preach from Romans, I think, chapter 3. And I was talking about the power of life. When I go back, I said, "What? As God is my witness, that day the stomach said, let's leave this man alone." No, that day I just said, this is the power of life we're talking about. Away with Miss Mag. You know, judging back, the very next day, it stopped trouble. That is, he heard. Now, listen, words have power. Sicknesses have ears. Are you getting my point? Sometimes when you're not talking to it, heard what you heard. So before you start attacking, it decides to give you space. Because when you're attacking, you generate more energy. The guy wants to leave your energy. It quickly escapes. It escaped. And you know what happened? That's why I talked about me. I told my wife, please find me preachers. You know what happened? I preached and I heard what I preached and I was healed by the power of the words that I preached. How often will I listen to myself? It's not good. So I told my wife, I said, please find me preachers. I need to hear the gospel. You know what I'm going to explain? Because indeed, this gospel has what? Power. It does. Listen to me. It heals the sick. And it literally raises the dead. You know, all we like to preach now is how to give money and get more. I'm going to preach the gospel next year to teach you how to throw money away into a well and trek for 5 days barefooted. No, really, because you know, I was telling stories about maybe people like these guys who practice religion and all of that. Why I told their stories that some, you see, sometimes we don't understand. There was a quest in their hearts. Are you getting my point? They didn't have the full understanding. We agree. But at least they were looking for something. God said, I stretched my hands out to those who are not even looking for me. I called to them. They didn't answer me. They were those that God wasn't calling, but they were working hard after God. Believe me, I don't have the details. But after reading a bit about Buddha as a person, I say if he lived after Jesus Christ, he would have believed in him. He did, because the man, the way I saw him, he didn't go out to found the religion. He went out to go and ask questions. He was a royal, he was a prince. And he'll be going on the way, he'll see a sick man. He said, why is that man sick? He said, that is the way destiny has determined it. He said, this destiny was very unfair. Here I am on a horse, healthy. Somebody's lying on the floor, sick and dirty and hungry. And he says, the way destiny made it. So the man departed from the palace to go and seek the cure to destiny. I told you the story before. For those of you who read my article, The Supremacy of Christ, of why parts of Kaduna Zaria, why they are Christians. It was because the grandfather of Ishaya Audu, a Muslim cleric, I talked about true seekers. He was seeking for the true God. Therefore, like Cornelius, an angel appeared one day and said, you want to know God? Go down towards the south, a 2-day journey. Second day of your journey, you meet some people coming up towards the north. They will tell you the way to the true God that you wanted to know. That was how you became a Christian. When we're reading from Luke chapter 15, prodigal son story, I read one scripture from New American Standard that the Bible said that the father of the prodigal son said, "This your brother that was dead has now begun to what? Live." That is, our being believers, having so-called answered an altar call, has reconciled us to God that we may attain to what people were seeking for. The problem with Christians is that they are not seeking for nothing. We make every excuse for Satan. Are you getting what I'm raising? Because we have read so much. We have read so much about why economics don't work, why in sickness, how much power genes have over of the outcome of our lives. And especially if you are a doctor, you have accepted it as true. You know what I'm preaching? That there is a power. Listen, if it is genes that we are talking about, all of us came from somewhere. We're all children of the same father in Noah. How come our genes are so varied? Some are white. They're all children of Noah. Is that not so? Every other person perished in the flood, apart from the descendants of Noah. Some are black. Some are short. Some are tall. How come? You know the reason? Because there is a spiritual force. The spirit is more powerful than the matter. Are you getting my point? And when God wants to move people in one particular direction, or when their iniquity is bringing judgment to their lives, it affects their genes. But that's not my story. My gospel really is the fact that if it can move one way, it can move the other. Are you getting my point? Now I understood why God said, why John said, when we see him, all of us will now begin to look like him. Are you getting my point? All the genes will be rearranged and you go back to one father from which all of you came. Are you getting my point? And I want Christians to understand that. So if genes say, in your family, people, one in every three women will have breast cancer. He say, who will deliver us? When? He say, it is not when. I am the resurrection and the life. Let me explain that thing to you. Jesus was not laying, I hope you won't think this is heresy. Jesus was not laying claim that only me can be resurrection and the life. The Bible said he opened the doors to bring many sons to glory. That is, every child of God to walk into a situation. He said, in this house, people die very early. He said, that was them. He said, now I am the resurrection and the life. Are you getting my point? Because I have believed in Jesus Christ, I have condemned death in this house. Do you get the point I'm making? That is how life changes. That is, I'm talking about creative power. That is what overturns things in life. But you know, we turn Christianity to play Sunday joke. Sunday entertainment. I hate my time being wasted when I'm supposed to go for a service. I don't like it. Not because I have anything against playing. Like I told you last time, if it's playtime, go to where they are showing you UEFA Cup, Gouda. Buy a bottle of Gouda. Sit down there and be shouting Ronaldo also. And drinking Gouda. We know we are playing. But when we enter the presence of God, he said, watch your feet. Are you getting my point? Don't carry any joke into that place. No, I'm serious. If you want to play, go to Polo Park. You know it is play. But when you enter church, because, see, without the injection of the word of God, we can't experience the power of God. And listen, until we experience, now when I say experience, individually, you know what most people like? If I say this, it will amaze you. Many of the things that we do, I was discussing with my wife a few days ago. I said, many of the things that we do, do you know it's amazing? John the Baptist, let me leave John out. Jesus never preached it. Paul didn't preach it. Now, let me explain what I say. It's not as if it didn't happen. But it wasn't the center of what they were preaching. Jesus was preaching a gospel. He was trying to bring one. He was trying to bring people in union with the Father. To declare his word. Jesus was not trying to heal everybody and have a good crusade. He was trying to make disciples. So that all of them would come into unity. Like he was one with God. That they might attain oneness with God. Do you get my point? And the same thing Paul and Co. were doing. But we tend to encourage the worship of one man of God. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to say. A friend of mine was telling me about his church recently. He said he just got tired. Everybody, they give microphones, say, you know, the grace upon this man of God He said he got tired. We grew up in the same setting, so I can understand. That before, he was telling him that what's all these noise they are making? Before I came to this church, I was a grown-up Christian. I grew up somewhere. Why are you making it look as if we cannot be anything except for the grace upon this man of God? Now, please, let me say what I'm going to say. This is a point there. That if we don't encourage everybody, are you getting my point? To come into that experience, we want to be dishing it out to them. When you are sick, come. I am anointed to heal your sickness. When you are confused, come. I am anointed to give you direction. Listen, those things are good for babies. Are you getting my point? Can I get you to testify that he couldn't get old Christians healed? It was hard. Baby Christians, no problem. Unbelievers, small thing. Just come. Bam, it's gone. Lay hands. He said, but the older the people were as Christians, the harder it was. He had many explanations to give it, but the main explanation was that they were trying to use what did not belong to babies. Like, I'm hungry now, and I tell my wife, please, can you please mix a cup of ISO meal for me to drink? I am hungry. You know, as soon as I finish drinking it, as soon as I finish, I'll become hungry again. Nothing wrong with the ISO meal. Nothing wrong with my stomach. The problem is that my stomach desired something bigger. I mean, pound the yam. Are you getting my point? List the vegetables on one side. Put meat there. Let me chew it. The Bible says strong meat belong unto them that are mature. Even the Bible says it. Milk is for babies. Something we want to popularize as preachers is milk for what? Babies. But the gospel of God for adults is that we should reach up to a place where we become the solution to every other problem around. That is, once a family has a Christian, they are saved. Do you get my point? That is the plan of God. Look, I like one testimony. Ken Hagin shared once. He said a preacher came to his house and he saw the man carrying injection and stuff. He said, what is that? He said, anytime I test my blood sugar, my urine sugar, if it's too high, I have to take a shot. He's like, are you serious about that? He said, okay, you know what's going to happen? As long as you stay in my house, you will not test sugar in your urine. You will not find sugar in your urine. As long as you are in this house, you won't find it. The man kept on testing. For 4 or 5 days he stayed in that house, he didn't find it one day. Those are the things I read, and I knew that these things are spirits. As soon as he left the house, he started testing positive for sugar again, and continues insulin. You know, Novahese had a daughter. You know, when he became a preacher, his wife walked out on him. Ken Hagin was a very good friend. Now, he said that one of those days, Ken Hagin came to his house and his daughter had what? You know what they call what? Had what on her fingers, and they were quite unsightly. He said Hagin looked at it. He wasn't there then, you know. Maybe he went out somewhere. So Hagin and the daughter were sitting in the sitting room. He said, just look at it. He said, what are those? He said, what? He said, just told the girl that I could curse them and they would die. But he didn't do it. He just said it and left it. And then I think the daughter told him or something. So that was the first time he noticed that his daughter had what on her hand. And God was actually very angry with him that he was being quite negligent. So you know what he did? He now took the word of God. He settled down and decided to kill the what? Not with any medicine, not with any other thing. He just took God's word and studied it and spoke against the what and they died. You understand what I mean by the power of life? The problem we have, which is what I'm trying to teach today. See, when Jesus came to raise Lazarus, it was to show that he had attained a particular position. He did not raise Lazarus the same way he raised the son of the widow of Nain. That was just an outburst of the anointing. This one was a deliberately concocted occurrence. That Lazarus is sick. All right, leave him. Let him die. I don't know whether you get the point. Normally, he will have sent the word only, and maybe his servant will have been healed. Lazarus, the Bible kept on emphasizing, and he loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Yet, they said Lazarus is sick. instantly he knew, he had this word of knowledge inside him that this guy is going to progress and die within 2 days. And after that, we'll go and raise him up. So if you don't want him to die, we have to go now. Therefore, he tarried 2 more days. So that by the time he walked the distance back to the place, the man had been dead for 4 days. And before then, he told the disciples, he swore as to make a point to all of you. Because you have to testify about me. You have to preach this gospel to the whole earth. So you must have an assurance. There are things that you are sure of already. You have been on the Mount of Transfiguration. You have seen this, but I want you to be absolutely certain of what we are talking about. Therefore, we will wait for Lazarus to be properly dead. Dead and rotting. Are you getting my point? Before we get back there. He said, it is not for my sake. I am not in doubt as to what position I occupy with God. It's so that the rest of you will understand it. So when he got there, he simply told the Lord, Lazarus, I'm going to leave him to die, but Lord, when I get there, you will raise him up again for me. You would release that dose of power to bring a man that was dead for 4 days back to life. And the father said, no problem. He said, fine. He said, the father judges no man, but has committed all judgment to the son. What he was saying is, it's not a matter of, I've given birth to you and I've destined you. From next week, I'm going to preach on radio on predestination. It's as if I have destined you to have that power. No. You have walked with me into a position of having that power. Are you getting my point? So he said, no problem. So he allowed Lazarus to die to make a point. Do you get my point? And I said, explain something to you earlier, that there is no day of salvation. It's when the person of salvation arrives that's the issue. There's not like a day. This is the day of resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Even the last day you are talking about, resurrection will happen because I'm showing up. I don't know if you get my point. They won't just rise up because it is now time. No, they will rise up when I show up. What am I saying? Many things are dead in life. That's the creative power we're talking about. It's not just about shouting. I said something before, that words carry what? A spirit. The intensity of the power in the words is dictated by 2 things. Number one, the person talking. That's what we're talking about, righteousness. And number two, the assurance he has concerning what he's saying. Those 2 things dictate the amount of power in every word that's spoken. But a lot of times we just talk. He said, just quote the word of God. We just quote. Just argue with God. Give God your points. Listen, Moses did not read all the scripture we know. But because of his walk with God, God said, let me kill them. He stood there. He said, God, to kill them, you have to pass through me first. And I say, no. Please, are you getting my point? You are getting the point I'm making. So, you see, so for God to do things on the earth, he needs people who can prophesy according to his desires. Please, are you getting my point? That so when God wants to do something, the people have worked with him to a particular level. Therefore, they carry power in their hands. That's what I'm saying. Listen, it's not just about preachers. We are used to the laying on of hands on heads to cure sicknesses. Listen, the same hands laid on machines. If the engineer in that company had the anointing and they walk with God, he would lay hands on machine and they would stop breaking down anyhow. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. They will look and say, how do we do this building? Nothing like this has been designed. The man lays hand on the paper, and as soon as he falls asleep, the picture comes in his mind. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So that when people say something is impossible, the guy say, what did you say? Impossible. He said, there's a man in your company whose name is Daniel. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Everybody has been there and said, there is a man in your company. Have you asked him? And let me tell you something about the power of life. To the man who has it, he's actually not struggling. You know, Daniel walked into that place and looked. He said, what's the problem? He said, the handwriting of the wall. He said, it's a simple thing. Now, do you want me to read it loud? Which language do you want me to read it for you in? No, get my point. It was clear. So all of you can't see this. Okay, I just knew we're all blind. He said, so what is the issue? I will give you anything. Forget. Your kingdom is passing away. Whatever you give me won't last night. So that is the second one. Can't you see? I mean, a king that's passing away said, I'll make you minister. He's a rich minister. As one king goes, all the ministers follow him. Don't be so. Are you getting my point? Listen, I said before that Daniel never prayed to interpret any problem. Never, not one day. He told about the dream. He said he only prayed to know the dream. They went to the king. Tell us the dream. The king said, I have forgotten the dream. Anyone who wants to interpret it should first tell me the dream. That was the only time Daniel prayed about solving an issue. Said God, well, we don't know the dream. Then after he prayed, God now showed him the dream. As soon as he saw the dream, he had interpretation. I explained before, those are doses of life. Doses here and there. And the mistake we have made, I keep on saying, is that we think that only the preacher is the minister. Are you getting my point? So all of you have come to Ghana, you have come to listen to Pastor Banky. Listen, when you go to work on Monday, are you getting my point? There are people that have gathered to listen to you also. Clients are coming to listen to you. Do you follow what I'm saying? You work in a company, clients are coming to listen to you. You work in a school, students have gathered to listen to you. And each, look, once we tap into life in each particular area, then the engineer will look, they say, this machine is always breaking down. Look, wisdom, we talked about wisdom and what? Power. He will just look and say, this is the problem. Do this, do this, do this. When he's hard for him to solve, he will go look at the machine. Let me have the draft, or let me have the blueprint. You know, I said, look, life is not a mistake. It's not an accident. As soon as he puts it, these are spiritual issues. The Holy Spirit moves his eyes to the area where the defect is situated. And just said, come, dismantle that area for me. Bring that equipment. He said, this one is too complicated. I will replace with two iron rods and three knots. After that, it will not happen again. That is life in the brain of what? An engineer. It's not only preachers that have it. Preachers are supposed to equip the saints to do such works, every aspect of life. I hope you are getting my point. Listen, you know, that's what Christianity is. And that's why I want to leave us with this as we are closing this year. That listen, it is not about struggling to achieve in life or to build a big ministry. Let me talk for preachers. No. Is struggling. Because Paul said, labor to enter into rest. Is there anyone that has entered, has ceased from his works? Are you getting my point? I explained that Joseph, Daniel, and Cody didn't struggle to have the ability to decode difficult matter. As soon as you presented it to them, the solution just came out. But it says, struggle to enter into that realm. Are you getting my point? Joseph had to learn obedience from the things that he also suffered. That's what we're teaching on radio, talking about the importance of temptation. That James said, rejoice. You know the word rejoicing? When you enter trial, he said, be happy. When things are going wrong, jump up, say, ah, at least person, which was supposed to get some trial, okay? That be happy. He said, because the trial of your faith works what? Patience. He said, once that one has had his perfect work, now you'll be perfect and entire, not lacking in anything. That is, until that trial has finished his work, you are still lacking in something. One of the first things I'm going to do next year is to explain about the release of grace into life. No, we'll talk about it. Let me just end with that. Just simply, I'm closing now, all right? Because we just want to, you know, this is the end of the year, so we shouldn't preach so hard. No, let me tell you what. As Christians, no, Jesus said, my yoke is easy, and my burden is what? Light. Lightning is not a lie. It's Satan that tries to make it look like a lie. You know, one of the things you must do for yourself is a prayer. It's a prayer. You will pray the prayer. God, help me to believe you and believe you simply. No, really. Something happened to me in my heart recently. You know, I was just watching money come and go. You know, money will just come. As it's coming like this, it will just what? Go. As it's arriving, it just go. Like this money, you know, we even stay small. No, they call stay. Someone will say, ah, sir. So a man told me once, okay, I hope you are building a house. I said, no. He said, why not? I said, I don't have money yet for a house. My new testimony is that when I start the house in January, by end of June, in Jesus' name, it must be finished. It's my testimony. And I'm a large man. I don't know whether you get my point. I don't know how to manage. I cannot park from my landlord's big house and park to my own personal tiny house. What is it? So that I can say it's my house. What's the problem? I have money to pay the landlord. It's still my house. As long as I paid rent, it's not my house. So I told God that all this struggling, I park more 2 blocks today, more 3 blocks tomorrow, is not my portion in Jesus' name. And you know, once I say things like that, even if I want to change my mind tomorrow, God no dey agree. No, that's how God has done with me. God no go agree. I said, God, you know, this country is getting harder and harder. Cement has gone from 900 naira to 2005. You know, we've just managed the three-room apartment. You know, just build a BQ. We'll park in there. We'll be building the main house. As soon as you start the BQ, it will collapse. I say, oh boy, park to where you're coming from. Now, let me explain what I'm going to say. I just consider these things. Money come, money go, and all of that. Then the scripture jumped into my head. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let me give you the bankies version of it. God supplies enough money to take care of today's problems. That's the meaning of sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Are you getting my point? I said, look, if I can take that word solidly and hold it like that, you know what Jesus said? You will never lack. That is, instead of spending, as an example, 50 naira a day now, if I decide that so I can build a house and something like that, I'll be spending 5 naira. All right? One day God will say, if you have spent 50 naira every day, I will still have given you the house at the same time you still got it. Listen, that's grace. I'm trying to bring out something about grace. That's grace. How does that power release into your life so that when you have struggled to build a 3-room small BQ before you build a main house like people try to argue, why is it that in the same period you have taken you to manage that, you will complete something 10 times that size without sweating? That is grace. Are you getting my point? How will it happen? It's simple. Just agree with what Jesus said. Take no thought for the morrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. If you will believe that statement simply, power will be released. Listen, where you will have had ideas to make 5 naira, God will give you ideas to make 1 million. Look, oh, let me tell you the truth. Spiritual things are what? Real. That's why, look, I told my wife, I said, babe, find me preachers. I want to hear word because I know what the word does. I know what it does. I know. Because I remember those when I listened to Bishop Oyedepo's Supernatural Living series. Everywhere I went, it showed. Everywhere. Even Satan respected. When sickness is flying up and down, when they jam me like this, they regret them. See, now why you people come here? Now see disgrace. Now we have become a testimony. Can you see? I remember the first day I listened to Pastor Bojo. When he preached on the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. That day I went to church. You know, I was wearing white. Brocade or linen, one of these native wears. So, and it rained, so I was walking like this. So that potopoto no go enter my cloth. When the man finished preaching, this was how I walked home. I didn't care anymore. I didn't care. No, the God of God has power. I didn't care. It was splash it. Ooh, that's it. You never had the sufferings of Christ. What's your problem? No, because I realized that, wait, it's season. And as God lives, since then, my heart has not been moved. And my best people say, you know, people are building houses, so they are doing this. God is my witness. It does not concern me. All I pray about when I wake up in the morning, say, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, next year, we'll begin to declare. See these loudspeakers, they will preach the gospel all over the East. See this amp, you will amplify the gospel. You know, those are the things I declare about every day. We keep declaring about it every day because I know that my bread is assured and my waters will never fail. That's what the Bible says. I am absolutely certain about it. I don't worry about my children's future. My children's future. It was secured before they were born. Are you getting my point? Listen, there is Bible says those that hopefully wait for him will never be put to shame. That's why I say I need good gospel. Because when you hear it, it sets your mind at rest. It does. It doesn't only set your mind at rest. It literally heals your sicknesses. It removes away all your fears. It gives you direction in life. It brings you success where people say you should have experienced failure. Ah. The power of God is real. You hear what I said? Paul said, this is what we are going for. That's why if we have any advantage today, tomorrow we consider it a disadvantage. So that we can keep moving higher. There's no aspect of life, believe me, that once you have tapped into this life we are talking about, that you will not feel the effect. Hey, you know, you will have arguments. When a judge hears it, he will respect. Do you know what I mean? Respect. That is like, ah! He said, look at this mouth and this wisdom that none of his adversary was able to resist against it. You know, it happens. So Jesus said, that's what we should strive for. Don't labor for that one which perishes. Was that not what he said? He said, labor for the one that endures into what? Eternal life. Look, I just want to end the year with this small gospel. For us to understand that Christianity is not about going to church. It's not about marking register. You hear what I said? It's not about what? Marking register that means to have been to church. At all. At all. It amazes me what I see this is that people call Christianity. It's somewhere between, Orthodox, Catholicism, Islam, you know, Islam, Judaism. Somewhere, at the end of the day, people just say, okay, this is Christianity. No, really, I honestly just look at it. You know what marks out Christianity? The power of what? Life. That's it. And every day we are turning more to it. That's it. We are getting to know God more and more. Anyway, by which you do that, fine. If it's by jumping and praising, cool. Sitting down and learning, fine. But the thing must be that we are getting to know God more and more. And what am I explaining? Take Nigeria as an example. I said resurrection is not a day. You know, as in time. It is when the person that has the resurrection power arrives. It's what? When the person that has the resurrection power arrives. And there is an aspect of life where God said, if you don't get your own resurrection power, that aspect is dead. That's what I'm explaining. Please, I think I have talked enough. Have I said anything today? He said not yet. At least for this season. Next year we'll begin again. Talking about renewing our minds so that we can release the power of grace and getting God's attitude in everything. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Please, as I close, can we just bow our heads and begin to...